I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Last winter, I talked to Mary Halpin, one of the original Bridge Ladies, about the Best of Bridge series of books, and the group of ladies who started putting these cookbooks out 40 years ago. Mary and a recent member of the group, Julie Van Rosendahl, were in town a week or two ago launching the latest Best of Bridge Home Cooking, 250 Easy and Delicious Recipes. Julie joins me now to talk about this new collection and more. She is a writer, journalist, and broadcaster. We'll discuss the recipes in the book, easy to make ones that look good and that suit every occasion, whether you're cooking for one or more. The book is published by Robert Rose. The website for more is at bestofbridge.com. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Julie Van Rosendahl. Ms. Rosendahl, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're in Calgary this morning?
Yeah, I'm based in Calgary, and that's where I grew up, and that's where I got to know the Bridge Ladies way back in elementary school.
so a lot of people in this country have a sort of relationship with these books because our parents grew up with them, say. But you actually knew them, right?
I did. I actually went to elementary school with some of their kids. So, you know, we lived in the same neighborhood. We knew a lot of the same people. I would have sleepovers at my friends' houses, and their moms would be testing recipes. So I was very much familiar with the brand and sort of grew up eating the recipes, as did everyone in our neighborhood and all of Calgary. And, you know, Western Canada, I'm really learning. No matter where I go, I say Best of Bridge, and people have these fond memories of growing up and their moms making hamburger soup or Schwartz's potatoes. But I did know them, you know, sort of on a more intimate level, as our actual neighbors. But I think that what makes them such an appealing group of women and such an appealing brand is that they kind of feel like everybody's neighbor, you know?
Right. Yeah, the food is familiar, and it's easy to make, right?
It's very easy to make. You know, I think in a world of, you know, there are a lot of celebrity chefs and competition shows and a lot of, you know, sort of high-stakes cooking, and these ladies were, you know, sort of just a group of friends who got together and played bridge, and they would bring food to their bridge nights, and that's what the original series was based on, was a sort of, you know, home cooking, but the sort of thing that everybody loved to eat and always asked for the recipes. So that's what inspired the books, and that's what we're trying to stay true to, is, you know, just really good, solid recipes that are familiar, that have ingredients you probably have, and that you feel like you can actually manage, you know, you can actually make.
Yeah, there's something robust, there's something practical, comforting about these books. And, I mean, as you just said, I mean, all these ingredients are things that we can, we already have on hand, or we can get quite easily.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Pardon me.
It's interesting how, you know, our tastes have changed over the decades, and the availability of ingredients has, you know, definitely changed in 40 years. One of the most popular bridge recipes is called Classy Chicken. And they called it classy because it was made with asparagus. And asparagus was, you know, hard to find and, you know, only in season, and it was expensive. And nowadays, you know, you can get asparagus year-round. You know, you can buy curry paste and hoisin sauce and kale. We're doing a kale salad in Vancouver, and Mary Halpin, one of the original ladies, said, "Kale? Like, we didn't have kale in my day, you know, and now it's such a big thing." So the new book, it's reflective of new ingredients, new tastes, and just sort of new ways Canadians cook versus 40 years ago.
Yeah, I looked at some of the recipes that you contributed, and there are a lot of Asian flavors in some of the ones you did.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's very popular sort of style of cooking, and the ingredients are easy. You know, like I mentioned, the hoisin sauce is something that you can find on just about every grocery store shelf, and makes a sort of a good ingredient when you're doing a stir fry or you know, lettuce wraps is the recipe that's in the book with hoisin sauce. But it's one of those types of cuisines that people are cooking at home nowadays. It's not as exotic as it once was.
There are also a lot of recipes in this book that use one pot or use one tray, and as a guy, that's important, you know?
Yeah, minimizing dishes, I think, is generally important. So, I mean, that's sort of the basic, the basic feel of the book and all the books, is that, you know, there's the odd sort of fancier recipe, but for the most part, they're very simple and don't, you know, don't have too many steps or too many different, you know, pieces of the recipe that can be daunting. It's the sort of food that you can, for the most part, make any night of the week.
Yeah, and if you want, if you're having people over, say, and you want to make the recipe bigger, I mean, you can do that, say, making a tray of chicken in that one tray.
Yeah, exactly, and that's a new trend that we're starting to see is, you know, entire meals baked on a tray, like a rimmed baking sheet, which is essentially like a big, shallow roasting pan. So that one particular recipe, the tray-baked chicken, was one my friend Elizabeth Charney Booth did. So there are three of us in the new Bridge group. There are four remaining of the original Best of Bridge ladies. Mm-hmm. And really, since the essence of Bridge is a group of friends cooking together, it made sense for the new generation to also be a group of real life friends. So Sue Duncan and Elizabeth Charney Booth and I are all friends in real life, and we're all home cooks. They're two of the best cooks I know. And so the tray baked chicken was one of Elizabeth's, and it's just chicken pieces and veggies, and you toss it all on a baking sheet, bake them all together, and it's kind of brilliant because, you know, the pieces of chicken and the veggies all bake in the same amount of time, and the chicken juices sort of cook the veggies, sort of like doing a roast chicken and potatoes, but a faster version of it.
Yeah. By the way, do the three of you play bridge yourselves?
No, we're thinking we should probably learn. we're going to say, we should call it Best of Book Club, because that's sort of like the new bridge,
right.
People getting together and bringing food. But I'm also hearing that bridge is making a comeback. I know a lot of people who are playing bridge. My parents play bridge, and it actually seems like a fun game. So I think we may actually learn it one of these days.
Yeah. The slow cooker, that's something that everybody has nowadays, and everybody seems to be using that a lot. And there are recipes in this book that utilize that.
Yeah. And, you know, a slow cooker can be a great tool, especially if you're busy and, you know, you don't have a lot of time to prep, or, you know, you get home from the end of the day and you have soccer to go to and lessons and you don't feel like cooking. So, you know, it's a great tool, and it's the kind of tool that people tend to need help with, it seems. You know, people love slow cooker recipes because, you know, they don't always know what's going to work in a slow cooker, and it's amazing what you can do with one.
And it's one of those things, I mean, as a guy, you can't really screw it up once it's in there, right?
No, exactly. You know, it's really hard to overcook. I mean, the overcooked slow cooker recipes just kind of get softer, so you know, eventually you might have soup, but you can't, you know, burn something, and it's really good at keeping the moisture in, so it's great for doing chicken and things that might otherwise dry out.
So when folks go to Chinese restaurants, I'm the same. I mean, those Szechuan green beans are a must order. A lot of people like that. Now, there's a recipe in there that's easy to make, is it?
Very easy to make, and it's interesting. You look at some recipes and they seem kind of daunting, maybe because of the ingredient list, but there's nothing in here that's complicated. The Szechuan green beans, you just, you know, you trim the stem ends and toss them in a hot pan with some garlic and ginger and soy sauce, brown sugar. And sometimes, you know, it looks like the ingredient list is long, but once you do it, it really just takes a few minutes to make. And those in particular, people just go crazy for.
Yeah, there's a great section in here of sides, you know, vegetables that we'd otherwise eat, but we don't really like because they're like cauliflower, for example, seems very boring, steamed. But there is a recipe in here, and you can do it a different way, and it's quite good, right?
Yeah, I love roasted cauliflower. I mean, I think roasting any vegetable versus steaming it is going to make it better. Just by virtue of the fact that the high intense heat caramelizes the sugars and it gives you crispy bits, and you know, tossing in a little bit of oil first, you know, helps flavor wise, and that's just reflective of how people cook vegetables now versus in the 70s and 80s as well. You know, it's very common for, you know, for parents to pull out a steamer basket when they're cooking dinner, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I think nowadays more people are roasting vegetables, and especially seasonal vegetables like root vegetables in the winter. Winter squash is great. But even delicate things like fresh asparagus in the spring is so great roasted.
We seem to be more savvier about food. I mean, is that what you've noticed? I mean, thanks to food porn and Instagram, there is a certain food culture that's emerged, hasn't there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, especially if you look at the past 40 years, I mean, the internet exists now.
Yeah.
And so there are food blogs, there are food websites, there's food TV, food magazines. Like, it's very trendy to cook and to be a chef. I mean, look at the chef schools across Canada, and they are bursting at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
State in Calgary has seen their classes quadruple in the last few years. So it's definitely much cooler to cook than it probably was when the ladies started. But I find that even though there are so many recipes out there, and there's, you know, the whole internet to search, people are always looking for, like, a good chocolate cake recipe or a good banana bread recipe, you know. There's some crazy recipes out there, and there's a lot of recipes that, you know, aren't very well tested and might not be reliable. So I do find that people, you know, they don't want to waste their time and ingredients. They want something good, and there's those standbys that will never go out of fashion.
Yeah, if you want to make a lemon pudding cake, for example.
Yeah.
It's a Grandma Woodall's recipe, is that right?
Yeah, that's my grandma. Yeah, she was such a great baker. She lived in Windsor, and her lemon pudding cake was one of her sort of the recipes that she was known for. So when we were looking at what to contribute to this book, it's sort of a transition book. So, you know, Sue and Elizabeth and I have some in there, but it was already in the works before we came on board. We wanted some family recipes because that's what Best of Bridge always has. They had, you know, recipes named after Mona's mother's mother's best friend's favorite cookies, you know, or Schwarty's potatoes. They have a whole story about who Schwarty was and why he loved these potatoes. So I think that personal connection is really something that people are hungry for, too.
Yeah, and that's what food is all about. It's bringing people together, whether it's friends, family, and whatever time of year, and especially in this time of year when we seem to get together for celebrations and the sort.
Exactly. It's entertainment season is coming up, and, you know, the holidays and Christmas, and so, yeah. And I think it's important that people feel comfortable, you know, inviting people over and cooking for their friends and family and not being intimidated by it. You know, it's such a pleasure, and it, like you said, it brings people together like nothing else.
Yeah, you remember where you were when you ate such and such with so and so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Thanksgiving and Christmas are perfect examples of how, you know, you have to have the same things on the table every year. Even if it's, you know, your great aunt's lime jello salad that you hate, it still wouldn't be the same if it wasn't there, right?
Yeah. What was Thanksgiving like for you at your house?
Oh, it was great. Every year, because I do radio and TV and I write for magazines, by Thanksgiving I've already made 4 or 5 turkey dinners. And so on Thanksgiving weekend itself, we did a ham over at my mother-in-law's house and then a turkey dinner at my house. With my family, and it was great. You know, the menu rarely changes. You know, it's the sort of standard stuffing and turkey and gravy and cranberries and mashed potatoes, and then there's a few sides that could change, but as long as the core menu is the same, no one ever really wants to stray from it. And if we ever do, you know, we try a new stuffing with, you know, wild rice and pecans. Everyone freaks out.
Yeah, like, exactly.
What is this?
The other thing you mentioned a moment ago that I thought was quite important about these books and about this brand of Bridge. These are books. I mean, as you said, these recipes are tested, and even though we have the internet, we still go to them. And the way that this book's designed is great because it lays out on the kitchen there.
Well, yeah, the coil binding is what a lot of people associate with Best of Bridge, and so now they're. It's a covered coil binding, which is great because you can see the spine on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
You can recognize which book is which, and yet it still lies flat, which is, I think, is just it's the little things that people appreciate. And then the font inside is sort of reminiscent of the original handwritten font. One of the husbands hand wrote all the original books that the ladies self-published at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they found a font that's very similar. And so that's recognizable.
And the humor is still there after all these years.
And the humor, yeah, the little puns, you know. People just remember those little jokes. So yeah, we're working on coming up with little quotes and jokes for upcoming books.
You and Mary were in Vancouver, as I mentioned, a week or so ago. Any good meals here in this town?
Oh, so many good meals. We went to Fable.
Oh, yeah.
On West Forest, which is fantastic. Where else did we go? Oh, we went to Cafe Medina, of course, for breakfast.
Right.
The rest of Vancouver. it's always...
The lines are insane at that place.
Oh, they're insane, yeah. Where else did I have...
But it is a good, I mean, we're always self-conscious in this town about our food and whether we're world-class enough. I mean, you've traveled this country thanks to your work. What have you found about Vancouver and just how unique it is in terms of its food?
Oh, I think the Vancouver food scene is amazing. I think it's great. It's a place I often go through. We go to Tofino quite often. My parents have a house there. And I lived in Vancouver for a few years. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of fantastic food. I always stop at Meat and Bread on the way to the ferry or on the way off the ferry. And now there's a new bakery around the corner called...
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Know,
yeah.
It's right around the corner on Hastings. And then, of course, Revolver Coffee across the street, and they get their beans from Calgary. So that's a little spot that I always stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love going to Richmond. The Asian food in Richmond is just unlike anywhere I've ever been. And I should say I've never been to Asia, but you go to the malls and, they'll be pulling fresh noodles in, like, the food court in the shopping malls. Like, there is nothing like that in Calgary, nothing remotely close to it. So I always make an effort to go to Richmond if I have time when I'm in town. There's so many great restaurants there.
We were in California this summer, and we were at Nobu, and we had the sushi there. And one of the people I was with said that they say that the sushi in Vancouver is just as good as you'd say get in Japan. And I thought it was the sushi here is always better than that they had it in California, certainly.
Wow. Well, and I've heard that too. I'm not a huge sushi expert, but yeah, I've heard that the sushi is great, and the sushi I've had has been amazing. But my mom, who is actually in Japan right now, she's a sushi. You know, she knows all the best sushi places, and she loves visiting Vancouver and going for sushi. Of course, I mean access to some of the best seafood, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Julie, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Best of luck with this book, and give my best to Mary. I enjoyed talking to her a year or so ago.
Oh, yeah, she's so great. All the ladies are amazing. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you, too.
The book is called The Best of Bridge Home Cooking, 250 Easy and Delicious Recipes. It's published by Robert Rose, one of the Bridge ladies. Julie Van Rosendahl joined me on the line from Calgary in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunto.